grateful compulsive eater. First, I need to say that I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm grateful I woke up. I'm grateful I'm here. And I'm grateful, most importantly, that God, who's my chosen higher power, has chosen to keep me alive long enough to start getting some of the benefits and miracles of recovery. I'm going to touch on a number of those during my qualifying. So what qualifies me to be an OA? That's the either rhetorical or question, or qualifies me to speak today. I've been coming OA for 35 years. I've been abstinent for over 27 years. And the main way that I see my recovery, it's not in the food anymore, thank God. Like I say, I've been abstinent for quite some time now. Where I see it mostly is just in all of a sudden, oh my God, I am feeling and acting so much different than I ever have before. And the way I'm feeling and acting now feels so much better. It just feels so much better. I experience it so much better. And I can honestly say that before, and I'll touch on this also, before OA, I was pretty much miserable, hyper, anxious, depressed, sad. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say most of the time. Now I can honestly say that I'm happy and peaceful most of the time. And that's been a progression. It has been, oh, I got abstinent, a new magic dust appeared on the tip of my nose, and it happened. And I'll touch on how that happened also. Just to tell you how I qualify, to my memory, I've been a compulsive eater since I was 4 years old. When I was 4 years old, Ovaltine, and I just Googled it a couple days ago. It is actually still sold in the UK and in the United States, maybe around the world. That was my crack cocaine. You were supposed to mix it with hot water and then milk and stir it all up and blah, 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 and then drink it. I ate it straight out of the jar at the age of 4 years old. Couldn't get enough of it. So now I did have a thought when I got a little older than 4 years old, that you know, they might rot my teeth at some point, but like a true addict, I didn't care because that was down the line. You know, I'll just get false teeth. That was that was what went on inside this head. When I described my living situation, and this is not why I am a compulsive eater. I want to emphasize that. This is just my living situation. When I described my living situation to my Al-Anon sponsor, God rest his soul, I really miss him terribly, who passed away last January, his response was, Jay, are you aware that you grew up in a war zone, quote unquote? And he served active duty in the Korean War. So when he said that, I believed it. And I said, no, I didn't know that. Consistent, constant yelling, screaming, where I could literally feel my body shake at the screams from my mother and my father towards each other, towards us. It was sort of equal opportunity. It was never personal to me, but it affected me personally. I went through the motions of committing suicide. I would guesstimate somewhere between 10 and 15 times in my formative years, formative meaning being, I think my first memory of it was from the age of about 6 or 7 until I was about 13 or 14. I did not do it, you know, the details. I would go into a closet where there was this hook for, I guess, coats and stuff, pretty high, and I would loop a belt and I would put it over the hook, and then just stand on a stool and then put my head in the loop of the belt and just stand there. I didn't do it because I thought, oh, I want to kill myself. I did it because I had an experience that when I held my breath, I didn't feel. Okay. When I held my breath after about 5-6 seconds, boom, I started to not feel anything. And so I thought, well, if I just stop my breathing permanently, then that'll get rid of it. So like a true addict, wasn't that I wanted to kill myself. I just wanted to end feeling, period. But thank God that never happened. I developed severe eczema for about 10 years. I stuttered severely for about 10 years, just about the same timeline as the eczema, come to think of it, all from the stress that I held in. Wasn't from the stress of living there, it was from the stress that I held in. I had no outlet for it. And I'll talk about the outlets that I have now for any kind of stress or whatever later. Fast forward to my teenage years. The highlight of my week was always Thursday, because in those days, the food advertisements would be in the newspapers on Thursday. So my mother would scan them and then go shopping. And it would, a lot of times, her coming home from shopping would coincide with me getting home from school. And so I would eagerly run out as soon as I heard the car pull up and help her in with the packages. And she was so proud of me and glad. Oh, you're such a good boy. Thank you, Jay. The truth is that I wanted to see what that bounty was going to be for the week. So that's why I did it. Wasn't, I don't remember doing it to help her. I don't want this to be a foodalog, an Al-Anon, they call it a drunk, I'm sorry, an AA, they call it a drunk log when people just get into the gory details of their addiction. Just suffice it to say that that I was an addict. That segued into promiscuous sex and illegal drugs when I was in college. Anything that I could do, I am pretty much a garden variety addict in the sense that anything that I thought that I could do that would take me away from my feelings, that wouldn't kill me in the now or in the immediate future, I do. I was offered heroin and I didn't do it because I didn't like needles. Maybe if there was another way to have done it at that time besides needles, I would have tried it. I don't know. Just about anything else I tried. Then I got into my 20s and I got into organic food. I got into being a what a macrobiotic. But I stopped both. No, I haven't stopped the organic food. I'm sorry, I didn't mean organic. I meant the vegetarian. I became a strict vegetarian and also macrobiotic. But I stopped both of them because I noticed it didn't make me feel any better. I still felt like crap most of the time. I was just healthier feeling like crap, but I still felt like crap. So I stopped that in my later 20s. Fast forward to 1985, I was introduced to my first 12-step meeting. It wasn't OA, so I won't mention the fellowship. But I was amazed because there are about 40 people sitting in a circle and everybody talked and nobody said their last name. Why aren't they saying their last name? And then the most amazing thing was that after they got talking, when the next person would talk, they wouldn't refer at all to what the person had said. They would just talk about their own experience. I was like, this is unique. I like this. And then about a month later, I went to the Lincoln Park Alamo Club at the corner of Dickens and Sheffield in Chicago. And they had these couches, these very comfortable couches along the walls. And I would just sit there. And this is hard, probably hard for people who know me today to believe, but I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't share. I wouldn't, it was hard for me to say my name. It was just such a blessing to just be somewhere where I could just be Jay. And nobody expected me to be anyway else. And then in 1988, I went to my first OA meeting as an interested observer. Oh, this is interesting for people who have a problem with food. I don't have a problem with food. I just like it a lot. That's what went into this addict head. And that continued till 1995, Memorial Day weekend, Saturday night. I'm sitting on my bed. I'm looking at the TV. Eating a bowl of my favorite binge food, which was ice cream at the time. And I will tell you, after I got abstinent, I averaged it out. And for about 15 years, 20 years, something like that, I average between 4 and 8 scoops of ice cream a night, about 5 or 6 nights a week. It was always after dinner, or most of the time it was after dinner. I looked at the bowl on a TV and I thought maybe there's another way to live besides this. And I thought maybe the fact that I'm living my life like this and feeling so lousy has to do with this bowl of stuff that's in front of me. I called up AA. They gave me the number of OA. I called OA, found out when the next meeting was, which was the next day. And the next day, I went to an OA meeting as a compulsive overeater. And that changed my life. I took to it, as the saying goes, like a duck to water. I went to many more meetings in 90 days. In fact, one day I went to 3 face-to-face meetings in one day. I couldn't get enough of them. Because it was the only place I felt safe. The only place I felt safe. I could just be Jay. It's like, oh, now I could actually feel safe in my home. And I feel safe wherever I go. That's a miracle, and it's because of this program, folks. Anyway, about a half year later, I finished the, it was the second day of a 2 day binge, was a Sunday of Thanksgiving week in 1995, and I had a panic attack like all get out. Screamed into a pillow, beat my bed with a tennis racket. Laid on the ground to breathe deeply on my back. None of it did any good. I was still so anxious. I felt like I wanted to jump out of my skin. My skin was too tight around me. That was the physical feeling. Called my sponsor. My sponsor said, "Hi." I said, "Hi, it's Jay." My sponsor said, "Hi, Jay," and I burst out crying. And I cried for about 10, 15 minutes. And then my sponsor said, "Now tell me what you've been eating." I told my sponsor. My sponsor said, "It sounds like you might be in sugar shock. Why don't we have you start calling in your food?" I said, "Fine." And we set up two caveats. Number one, I would call it in before it went into my mouth. Folks, I know there may be people here who call in their food at the end of the day after they've eaten it. I don't get it. I don't get the value of it. I just don't get it. To me, if I call in at the end of the day, my sponsor is not my sponsor. I'm making my sponsor into a priest and I'm giving my confession. So I don't get it. The cows are already out of the barn, or the cow horses are already out of the barn, so to speak. But if I call him before he eat it, that takes away the veil of secrecy. And the opposite of my addiction to me is not abstinence. Abstinence ain't a tool, folks. And for me, there's a reason for that. I can't do abstinence. Abstinence is the absence of something. I can't do abstinence. Abstinence is a gift. It's a result for me of using the tools, working the steps, working with my sponsor, and connecting, connecting, connecting. The opposite of my addiction is connection. Because this, for me, number one, it's secret for my addiction. I don't want Judy to know about it. I don't want anybody here to know about it. I don't want me to know about it. I just want to do it. Okay? So I need to take that off. And how does that happen? By connection. By calling up somebody and say, so calling up somebody in the program and saying, "Listen, I feel like crap. I'd like to talk about it. Can you just listen?" Or even calling somebody and saying, "Hi, it's Jay. This is what's going on with me right now. I just feel wonderful. And I just wanted to share it with somebody." And the more I do that, the more I connect. And here's the caveat for that, folks. The more I connect about what's going on with me in the moment. Not, "Oh my God, I feel so horrible. I binged 4 days last week." I've never met somebody who beat themselves up and felt self-pity about what they did, and boom, that was the key. They got abstinent. If they want to get abstinent. And I'm taking a leap of faith and thinking that most of the people who are here would like to be abstinent. Okay? So, never known anybody that did that, but I've known a lot of people, including me, who said, "Okay, I binged. No drama. I binged. What can I do right now in this moment going forward to have a better relationship with food?"
5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, how many minutes, Sherry?
Five.
Thank you. Not a lot of people have got abstinent that way. So I did that. And I do that every day. I connect like I'm connecting right now at the meeting. Right now, I feel wonderful. A little nervous, but I feel wonderful. One of the things that I like about being on meetings is that I have ADHD. So I could do more than one thing at a time. I could look at the screen. I could share if it's my time to share. I could whatever. Because anybody who has ADHD, or if you have ADHD, then you probably know that it actually helps me to multitask. I cannot focus on anything more than 5, 10 minutes at a time. I'm going to wrap up with a number of things. Number one, I can't emphasize connection enough. When I hear people say, "Oh, but I have a problem calling people." You know what? Michael Jordan was lousy at basketball when he first started. He was cut from his eighth grade team. So what did he do? He practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. He was known. Him and Larry Bird were known for their maniacal practicing. Michael Jordan would practice 4 hours a day when he got into the NBA. Wasn't a mystery why he was as good as he was. Okay. So yeah, I have a problem with anything. I have a problem with connecting with people. I have a problem with sharing what's really going on. So what? You have a problem with it and do it. That's my philosophy about me. I'm not telling you what to do, but my thoughts, okay. If I think there's a possibility that going forward, what I'm about to do is going to have me feel better. If there's a possibility, then I want to try it, even though I may feel anxious or lousy or whatever in the moment. It's like I say, my experiences, the more I do it, the better I feel. What else could I say? I love this program. Love it. And I'll tell you what I love about it. Number one, like I said, I'm so much happier than I've ever been. Number two, it's so much easier for me to stay within myself and just let people be, okay? I had a friend of mine a couple months ago. I was talking to him. He said, "Gee, that's stupid," about something I said. And I said, "Oh, well, that's an interesting point of view. Mind if I ask you, what about what I said was stupid to you?" And then he says, "Well, it wasn't really stupid." He backtracked on, "But I was really serious." Okay, but notice I said, "What about it was stupid to you?" I didn't say, "Oh, yeah, I could see how that's stupid," because I didn't know what he was talking about, number one. Number two, I wasn't agreeing with him. But if I get curious with people rather than get upset with people, I find out what's important to them. And that's where the learning is. The learning, finding out what's important to me, I know. And that evolves over time. But I want to get curious with people. Another thing I want to say is that I want to say a prayer. This has become my favorite prayer. I use God, but you can use higher power. You can use doorknob. It doesn't make any difference if you so choose. Dear God, what can I do right now in this moment to take care of myself and feel better about myself? Amen. And every time I pray, and it just happened, my whole body calms down. Every time I pray that prayer, I get a message. Sometimes the message is just my whole body kind of calms down. Sometimes it's go for a walk. Sometimes it's get a drink of water. Sometimes it's call somebody. Sometimes it's pray. So, at times it's journal. It's all kinds of stuff. But there's two things the answer has never been. Number one, go to the refrigerator and see what's inside. It's never been the answer. I'm open to it because I want it to be God's will, but it's never been the answer. Second thing is that it's also never been yell at that person, get defensive with that person, attack that person, okay? And I think that's because my higher power knows that none of that is taking care of me. And I have a theory about that, and with this I'll close, about why that is. Number one, my higher power knows a lot better about what's good for me than I do, that's for sure. And number two is that if I go to something else, could be my higher power, could be calling my sponsor. If I invite some other entity, some other spirit into my head, it has to be an invitation. Okay. If I invite that spirit into my head,
Jay, that's done.
thank you. Then I end the conversation I have with myself, and I'll end the conversation I'm having with you right now. Thanks so much.